And all of God's people said what? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God surrounds us with himself, with his love, with each other? Oh, I love that song. Thank you, praise team. Good morning, church. I just want to say I had planned to say this, even expecting Dr. Tim not to be here, but I just want to thank him for the opportunity and the trust to share from God's word with you again this morning. I know we had some downtime this week, and he's got some more downtime coming, but because of circumstances, he is here this morning. But in saying that, I hope that you'll be in prayer for the Roger Jones family, as later today they have his celebration of life and celebration of going home. So be in prayer for them. But this morning we come to worship, and I know that we've been worshiping, and I'm excited. You know, I love the opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, corporately and individually. In the past couple of months, Dr. Tim's series on finding God in the valley, to me, I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed it. It's been insightful. It's been rich. It's just been good. And, you know, it's impossible, as we have learned these past several weeks, that it's impossible to go through life and not experience some sort of valley in our life. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes valleys seem to come off far too often. But God is always there with us. So, you know, when Dr. Tim asked me several weeks ago if I would fill in for him this morning and preach, I looked at the calendar and saw that it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And it just began to resonate in my heart and in my mind, you know, finding God in the valley in Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know, the two go hand in hand. They really do. I mean, if we do indeed find God in the valley, you know, when you're in that deep, dark place of those circumstances and situations that's going on in your life, then, you know what, that first moment that you feel God's presence with you, that's reason to give thanks. Amen? I mean, Jesus tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. So he's there with us. And to know that you're not going through that valley alone, knowing that God is with you in those times and in those circumstances and situations. You know, I'm not going to stand before you this morning and tell you that valleys are easy. They're not. Valleys are hard and they're painful and they're agonizing. But even in those moments, I'm here to tell you this morning, church, we can give thanks. We not only can give thanks, but listen, we should give thanks in those moments. And hopefully this morning you'll see why we are. Look at our passage of Scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always, not sometimes, but rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here, the Apostle Paul is urging believers to maintain an attitude of gratitude. He exhorts us to, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not some of the times, but every time. To give thanks. Erwin Lutzer put it this way. He said, "A Christian who walks in faith accepts all circumstances from God. Not some, but all. He thanks God when everything goes good, when everything goes bad, and for the blues somewhere in between. He thanks God whether he feels like it or not." You ever been in a situation and you really didn't feel like giving thanks at that moment? I have, and I know that you have too. But the Scripture tells us, again, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Listen, it's not God's will that we go through the valleys. I don't think God wants us to go through valley. God didn't want us to experience sin. Amen. But because of man's fall, we have sin. And because we are imperfect beings living in an imperfect world, we're going to experience valleys in our life. But what Paul is saying is that in these times, we are to give thanks. We are to be thankful. James put it this way in James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. My prayer for you, for us this morning, as we look at God's word this morning, is that what we learn this morning about giving thanks and experiencing thankfulness in the valley is that today will be a starter, sort of like a yeast, you ladies who do a lot of baking, a starter for you in this week of Thanksgiving as we celebrate it, as you gather with your families this week and celebrate Thanksgiving. A starter to realize that you have so much to be thankful for. And you have someone to be thankful to. You know, you may be here this morning, and I'm sure there probably is someone here this morning who's experiencing a deep, dark crevice in your life, a valley that you're experiencing right now as I speak. For you, I want you to understand, you can still give thanks. And you've got reasons to give thanks. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this. In the valley, we can give thanks because of God's indescribable gift. If you're a child of God, you've received this indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Again, like many of you, I've experienced numerous valleys in my life. And at times, some of these valleys have literally rendered me just broken. Hard to go through. 2 weeks ago, Barbara and I were not here at church. We were, in fact, in Rome, attending church with her mom. Many of you know that a few months ago, Barbara's stepdad, who raised her like a father, passed away. And their church was having a special service, remembering those who had gone on to be with the Lord this year. So we knew that it would be a difficult time for her mom, and we wanted to be there with her in support. It was a beautiful service. But listen, that exact day was the exact 2-year anniversary of my mom's sudden passing. So as I sat there wanting to be, you know, strength and comfort for her mom, a flood of memories flooded back to me. You know, 2 years ago from that date, my mom suddenly passed with no warning, no nothing. In fact, being Thanksgiving season, that day we were scheduled as a family to have an early Thanksgiving celebration. Jacob, our son, was going off to the military, so he was not going to be there for Thanksgiving. So we decided to have an early Thanksgiving family dinner, and it was to be that day. And I received a phone call before I had woke up that morning that my mom had had a stroke, and the ambulance was rushing her to the hospital. So I jumped in the car, ran on. Barbara and the boys came later, and I didn't make it. I was crushed because I've shared with some of you, I was a mama's boy and proud of it. I was crushed to the fact that she was taken. But I was crushed to the fact that I didn't get to say goodbye. But during that time of that 2 weeks of leading into Thanksgiving, God began to minister to me. In these past 2 years, he's continued that ministering. And though I miss my mom daily, I have reason to give thanks. One of them is I knew she didn't suffer. She went quickly. She, in fact, on the way to the hospital in the ambulance, had another stroke, and she was gone. So she didn't suffer. Now, I can give thanks for that. But listen, the greatest thing I can give thanks for is God's indescribable gift, because she knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know where she's at today. And I can give thanks for that. That I will see her again in heaven. And that gives me joy in my heart and thanksgiving. So we have a reason, even in those moments, to give thanks to God. You know, God's greatest gift. Listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you're here this morning, you may be able to give thanks about something, but there's something much more than that. I pray that you would come to accept God's indescribable gift. I mean, Paul says it's hard to explain sometimes of what Christ does for us when he enters your life. Indescribable, listen, indescribable is the love that conceived it. Think about that. Our salvation was born in the heart of a loving God. And it's indescribable. Indescribable is the love that brought it about. I'm not trying to get Christmas ahead of Thanksgiving, but that baby that was born in that manger in Bethlehem grew to become our Savior. Indescribable is the love that carried it all the way to the cross. Jesus died to save you and me. So as we go through those valleys, as we experience those circumstances and situations in our life, listen, we have a reason to give thanks. And it's because of God's indescribable gift. St. John of Avila put it this way. He said, "One act of thanksgiving when things go wrong with us is worth 1,000 thanks when things are agreeable to our inclination." Just let that resonate with you for just a moment. Think about that. Man, it's easy to give thanks when everything's going good. Amen? But it's in those hard times. It's we have to work at it. And what St. John is saying, that at that moment when you give God thanks, it means more than any thanks you could give him when things are going smoothly. I think it reaches down to a whole nother level and a part of God's heart when we do that. When our Heavenly Father hears us giving him praise and thanks, when things are not going well and they are difficult, we're recognizing him for who he is. Like the song said, he's a good God. Amen? He's a good God. The second thing I want you to see is this. In the valley, we can give thanks because God gives us triumph in all things. He gives us victory. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I'll be honest with you, when you're going through a difficulty, and I've been some of my difficulties, I knew this verse. God reminded me of this verse, but at the time, I really didn't want to hear the truth of this verse. But it's true. God does give us victory, lets us triumph. 4 years ago, I was going through a valley. Some of you know about it, and I'm not going to go into detail, but it was a dark valley. Serving in the ministry for 25 plus years full time, and all of a sudden I found myself literally out of the ministry. The first Sunday that I was supposed to totally be out of the ministry, that Saturday night, a good friend of mine called of a church, bless you, called and And he was sick. And he said, I need you to preach both services for me in the morning. I thought, God, I can't even get a day off. But I was so thankful because part of that was ministering to me because of that valley I was in. And then the next Sunday, Barbara and I ended up here. We knew Tim and Sandra, and they had invited us to visit. And I guess you could say the rest is history. The staff and elders met with me and asked me to come on board part-time here at the church. I'm so thankful for that. But along with that, God opened up a door, another passion in my life that I never thought I would be able to experience again. And that is doing aircraft work on airplanes. I love that. I experienced it. I learned when I was in the Air Force. And I thought, I'd never get to do that again. And God has opened up that door, and I hate working on cars, but I love working on aircraft. So God has brought that back into my life. I've got the best of both worlds. I'm still able to do ministry, and I'm able to do a passion in my life that I enjoy as far as working on aircraft. So I'm living proof of this verse, as dark and deep as that valley was, and I didn't understand it at the time, but he does work all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. He causes us to experience triumph in our lives in the midst of those valleys. You know, I've always been one to I always feel like we need to follow and look at Jesus's life. He's our ultimate example. When I was pastoring full-time, I'd tell my congregation, don't follow my life. Follow Jesus. So, you know, consider some valleys that Jesus went through, if he's our example. You know, God causes us to experience triumph in our time of decision. In Luke 22, verse 42, we find Jesus at his time of decision. He's in there in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's a valley. I mean, he's struggling. He's fully God. He's fully man. And he knows what lies ahead of him. In fact, he even asked the Father, if there's another way, Father, let it happen. But then, at his time of decision, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. But thy will be done. And God the Father gave him victory, gave him triumph over his enemies. God gives us triumph in our time of difficulty. Luke 23:42, we find Jesus at a time of difficulty. As he hangs on the cross, having been beaten and bruised, broken. And he hangs there, being ridiculed by the crowd. And the criminal on his right looks at him. Says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That was a triumphant moment for Jesus in that difficult time of being recognized for who he was and what he was doing. God gives us triumph in those times of difficulty. You know, God causes us to have triumph in our defeats of life. Matthew 27:54, Jesus breathed his last breath and died. Those looking on thought it was a moment of defeat for him. But it wasn't, was it? No. Even in that moment, that Roman centurion looked up at this lifeless body hanging on the cross and proclaimed, surely, this was the Son of God. God gave him triumph right there at that moment of defeat. First John, chapter 5, verse 4, John says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, this is the triumph that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, through all of his valleys, through all of his difficulties, Jesus never lost faith in the Father and his plan. And as we're going through those valleys, we too do not need to lose faith. Paul himself experienced unbelievable valleys, circumstances, and situations. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I can do all things. I want to bring somebody up. I really want you to understand the importance and the truth of our focal passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything, give thanks." Barbara, I wanted you to hear from her because I personally know what this verse has done for her in the midst of a valley for her. And hopefully you'll understand the importance of what that verse says. I know this verse is important to you, and it came at a very difficult time in your life. Just share briefly what this verse did for you and how it came about.
Well, in 2006, I had a health crisis, a very rare health condition that a lot of doctors had never seen before. They had only read about in textbooks. And in the midst of this, which was a very scary and dark time for me, God was also calling us from South Georgia to a church in this area. So we had to pack up our family and move here. And, of course, I had to get all new doctors and start over with doctors. And, again, it was a very scary time, a very hard time.
And I know this came at a time when it was really a high point in your life as far as your relationship with the Lord. You had started various ministries, Good News Club. You'd been a part of the Celebrate Recovery starting. You started an intercessory prayer ministry. So it was a high point in your life when this took place.
Yes. I have to say being close to God, I don't know how it could have got through what we went through. But we moved here, and the church that God called us to wanted to start these same ministries at their church. And I just give God the honor and the credit for giving me the strength during that time to be a part of starting those ministries. And like Tim said, one of those ministries was Celebrate Recovery. And as we started that ministry, we met a young couple that started coming, and they were heavily addicted to meth. And God just opened that door with them, and we began a special relationship with them. They were like family, really. Yeah. And one day, out of many days, we probably made the trip to Emory at least once a week. And we were on our, we were actually on our way back from Emory and still nothing new. And I was, again, feeling like if God doesn't intervene here, I'm going to die. And the husband of this couple called Tim, and he had been having his quiet time that morning and read a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and God laid me on his heart. And he told Tim, he said, I kept saying, "Oh, I can't call. And he kept sort of putting it off, but he said God wouldn't let him go about it. So he called Tim, and we're on our way back from Emory, and he said, "I just got to share this verse, and I want you to share it with Barbara. I really feel like God wants her to read this scripture." So Tim got off the phone with him, and he told me the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I had my Bible in the car, so I opened it up, and I read it, and I thought, "Oh, I know that verse." I was expecting some, and I'm like, "Oh, I know that verse, but as soon as I thought that, God's gentle voice said, do it, and do it now. And I have to say, it was just a miracle in that moment as I was obedient. That dark cloud started to lift off of me as I named one by one everything I had to be thankful for. And it reminds me of the scripture of Matthew 7:24, where Jesus says a wise man not only hears the word, but he does the word. And in that moment, as many times as I had read the scripture of being thankful in all circumstances, it became real to me that day when I actually did it.
Wow. Thank you. You know, a wise man is not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. You know, how many of you grew up singing that old hymn, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. We all did. And listen, that's a part of it. I know there's those times when it's hard. It's difficult. When that dark, deep cloud's hovering over you and you're right in the midst of it. But it is in those times we most definitely need to be doers of the word and give praise and glory to God and thank him. Because like Barbara said, we have so much, we get so focused on that valley, on that circumstance, on that situation, that it clouds out all the other things that God has done for us and is doing for us. So it is in those times we need to give him thanks. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. So how do we do this? How do we in those moments, in those valleys, give him thanks? Thanks in everything. Well, I firmly believe it has to become, and that's the third thing I want you to see this morning, is giving thanks must become a learned habit. Have you ever thought about how many things that you've learned in your lifetime? I know if you're like me, sometimes you have to go back and relearn some. But we learn a massive amount of stuff in our lifetime. Very little comes natural to us. It's a process of learning. I got informed this week I'm being sent to a school out in Wichita, Kansas in December on the engines of the airplanes that I work on. I'm not going to say how long it's been since I've been to school on aircraft engines. In fact, the engines that I went to school on back then don't even exist now. That's how ancient I am, youth. But I've got to learn. Life is a continuous learning process. Would you agree with me on that? A continuous learning process. So in the habit of giving thanks, we need to allow it to become a learned habit. In Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see the truth there that Paul is talking about? Paul has given us great insight to the elements of peace and joy that comes when we give thanks. Something as simple as giving thanks initiates and leads us into joy and peace. You know, I truly believe that something in the heart of God rejoices when his children learn to express their thanks and heartfelt gratitude to him, especially in those moments of difficulty. I think it brings joy to our Heavenly Father to hear us expressing thanks. Week before last, Barbara and I had the privilege and joy and difficulty of keeping our two grandchildren for the whole week. Our granddaughter is 19 months, and Aiden, our grandson, he'll be 4 in July. So it was a lot of it really fell on Barbara because I was working at the airport during the day. But one thing that I noticed that week is that her mom and dad has done very well at teaching her, even at her age, of saying thank you. I was really shocked. It had been a while since we'd been around them. Even in the little simplest of things that you'd do for her, she'd look at you and say, thank you. You know, I mean, and just constantly. But it told me a couple of things. One, that mom and dad had been really working hard with her, teaching her this habit. It had become a learned habit for her because it doesn't come natural. Listen, we all know because we were once one. Children of that age are very self-centered. It's all about them. So I knew that it was something that she had learned. They had taught her. And it just warmed my heart. But listen, that's the way it is for us. We are children of God. And we need to learn the habit of giving thanks to God. Now, when I got on to her, I don't remember her saying thanks. But my point is this. We can learn. I think we must. I think that's a better way of putting it. We must learn the habit of giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. Why? Well, because of His indescribable gift that He's given to us. Because of the victories that He does give us in our lives, the triumphs. I mean, God has done so much for us. He's done something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He's done something for us that we cannot do for one another. He deserves our thanks. I think He desires our thanks. He yearns for it. Because of that great love that He's demonstrated to us, we should be driven, even in the midst of our valleys, to give Him thanks. I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many this morning, I wonder, has given Him thanks already this morning? My grandfather, I loved him dearly. He was I call him my spiritual hero. Barbara coined the phrase that Papa didn't just love the Lord, he was in love. There's a difference. He was in love with the Lord. And my grandfather had a habit. Regardless of what he was doing that day, he wouldn't allow one foot to touch the floor of getting out of bed before he laid there and gave God thanks. That was his morning ritual. He would always give thanks before he ever stepped foot on the floor. We need to do the same. We need to do the same. I think there's a very close kinship between the word think and thank. One letter difference. If we would consistently spend more time thinking and meditating upon the blessings of God, I think in turn, we would be more apt to give Him thanks. To give Him thanks. I want to close with a quote from another quote from Erwin Lutzer. Lutzer said this: "You can learn to give thanks even if you don't feel particularly thankful. If God gives a command, He expects obedience. Whether you are in the mood or not, thankfulness, like forgiveness, is not an emotion. Thankfulness is an intelligent response of gratitude to God." Isn't that good? God is good. God has given us and done for us so much. We like to hear thanks, don't we? I mean, even in the simplest things, that simple thank you. God wants to hear it. Won't you give Him thanks today? Thanks for His blessings. Thanks for life itself. Oh, life may not be going the way that you envisioned and want it to, but listen, you're breathing the air that He's given us. You've got a church, a loving church that loves you. You got a loving Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never received that indescribable gift, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you may have a lot to be thankful for in your life, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like that that can match it or compare to it. So I would hope that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, that you'll pull one of us pastors aside or your small group leader and say, "I want to know. I want to experience that indescribable gift." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are so good, so merciful. And God, I know I can only speak for myself. There's times when I don't deserve Your blessings. But God, You still bestow them. Your comfort, Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. There's no height or depth to Your love. So, Father, thank You. Thank You for loving me, even when, again, I'm unlovable. God, I pray that we as Your children, we as the church, could and would learn the habit of thanksgiving. Oh yes, You want us to come to You with our prayer request, and we do that, and You want us, You invite us to do that. But God, as we come, let us come with our thanksgiving. Even in those moments, even in those times of darkness, deep into the valley, may the words of the psalmist resonate. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Let us lift our eyes up to You. Lift our hands up to You and our voices up to You in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.